You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sevasuri. Now, the WHO estimates that the number of people with visual impairment is 285 million, that 65% of whom are aged over 50. Now, of these, 246 million have low vision, 63% over 50 years of age, and 39 million are estimated to be blind, 82% who are of 50 years and above. And joining us today to talk about World Sight Day, which is on the 13th of October, is Dr. Kenneth Fong Chung Sien, and he's a consultant ophthalmologist. He's got a whole range of issues to talk to us about today. And if you have a question for us, the number to text us is 016-201-9000 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kenneth.
Oh, thanks, Mira. Very nice to be back.
Dr. Fong, I apologize. You were saying most people know you as Dr. Fong.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Dr. Fong, the top three causes of visual impairment are uncorrected refractive errors, cataract and glaucoma. Now, the top three causes of blindness in 2010, which is an estimate by the WHO, include cataract, glaucoma and age-related macular degeneration. Now, what are some of the common eye disorders and conditions here in Malaysia? Is it in line with the WHO estimates?
Yes, it's very much in line with WHO estimates. And in Malaysia, we are no different from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of patients who are suffering with visual impairment and patients who are having severe eye diseases facing visual impairment. Mm-hmm. And particularly in Malaysia, I feel one of the issues that we'll probably be covering today is diabetic retinopathy, which is on the rise and will probably become one of the main causes of blindness in Malaysia.
Right, going forward.
Yeah.
But what would you say are the top three?
Top three would be the refractive error, so things like myopia, cataract and glaucoma.
Okay.
So it's in line with what the WHO has estimated.
Sure. In which areas of these disorders do you feel there seems to be a lack of understanding amongst Malaysians?
On the whole, I think we've covered refractive error pretty well. Optometry and optician services are quite well available widely throughout the country. Unfortunately, conditions like macular degeneration, glaucoma, and diabetic retinopathy are probably less well understood by the general public.
Mm-hmm. What is it that they don't quite understand about it?
Particularly, for example, glaucoma is a disease where the eye suffers from high pressure, but it's painless, and the visual loss is very gradual. So patients don't often present until they have severe disease.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that public awareness is increasing, but it's still required. Secondly, for macular degeneration, it's a disease of the elderly, above the age of 60 usually. And with our elderly population, they don't often complain of visual loss. And very often it's put down to old age or just cataract, something that's been treated at their leisure. But by the time they present to an ophthalmologist, they are found to have this severe condition of their retina, macular degeneration, and quite often, if they present late, it's not treatable.
All right. Okay. And children, of course, are not screened in Malaysia for eye-related problems until there seems to be a problem.
I think there is some schools do have a school nurse that checks their vision, and or usually the teachers pick it up. When they start formal primary education, if the child is not doing well at school or complains of not being able to see the blackboard, then the teacher would usually highlight it to the parent who takes them for eye tests. But there's no such formal visual screening as such in
mm-hmm.
Malaysia.
And myopia seems to be the leading problem amongst children.
Myopia is a huge problem, Mira. It is quite frightening. I mean, I think I've talked about this before, but close to 80% of the population in our neighbour Singapore is myopic. And we live in a similar environment to Singapore, most of us nowadays, and I think it will gradually increase. And because of that, you are at risk of other eye problems, such as retinal detachment, glaucoma, and macular hole. These are all eye diseases that cause or related to myopia.
Mm-hmm. 80% of Singapore's population has myopia?
Yes.
Wow, do we know why?
That's a very good question. I think it's a complex issue. One is genetic. I think there's a strong evidence that probably Oriental East Asians are probably more susceptible to myopia. But secondly, the environmental factor. It's in well documented that a heavily urbanized environment where the population lives indoors and lack outdoor spaces to exercise are more likely to get myopia. Mm-hmm.
So how often should we be testing our eyes? I mean, I'm not just talking about children, but what about adults?
Well, first of all, for children, I think I would say from the age of 5 onwards, they should go for an annual checkup to check for myopia. And if they have signs of early myopia, they should consider, parents should consider putting glasses for the children. And that can help them do better at school and see better. For adults, I don't really think you need to go for an eye test unless you have particular health problems like diabetes. It is worth going at least once just to have an idea what your baseline is, but there isn't really a need unless you have problems.
Mm-hmm. When people come to see you, Dr. Fong, what are you looking for during a regular eye test?
The eye test, firstly, we would check their visual acuity. So they have to read words at a set distance, and it's an objective test that is repeatable. So that gives an idea of how good their eye vision is. Secondly, we'll examine their eyes carefully from the front to the back, looking at their intraocular pressure that excludes glaucoma. We look at their lens, the signs of cataract, and we examine their retina and optic nerve for signs of other disease. And based on that, 80 to 90% of the time, we can pretty much tell the patient they're either okay or they have a problem and need further tests.
Right. And diabetes, as you mentioned earlier, is probably the most serious medical issue facing Malaysians today. The figures are frightening. More than 20% of our population has diabetes, and this figure is projected to increase by another 50% in the next 20 years. Now, diabetic retinopathy, can you tell us more about that?
Yes, diabetic retinopathy is probably one of the most serious complications of diabetes. It happens in more than almost all diabetic patients at some stage, but the severity varies. And what it is that there's bleeding from the blood vessels at the back of the eye, and this can cause blindness, because if you have bleeding in your eye, it will block the light entering your eye. And it can also lead to more serious things like retinal detachment and glaucoma. There's also the macula, which is the center of the retina, the middle, the most sensitive part of your retina, and that can actually swell up. So it becomes swollen and you get a condition called macular edema. And this can happen more commonly in diabetics, and it seems to happen more in the younger diabetic patients of working population. So in the West, for example, macular edema is the main cause of visual loss in the working population.
Okay, and macular edema is what? Retention of fluid in the retina, am I correct?
Exactly. It is just fluid collecting at within the layers of the retina as a result of the high glucose levels and also a result of the leakiness of the blood vessels in the eye.
Mm-hmm. What frightens you about diabetes, Dr. Fong?
Oh, many things. First of all, it's so common.
Yeah.
So if you really put it into figures, worldwide there's more than 250 million people worldwide have diabetes. So if that projection increases by 50% by 2020, you'll have more than 350 million people with diabetes. So that's a huge number of patients with diabetes, and out of that, at least 20-30% will get complications like this diabetic retinopathy. It's a huge treatment burden for me. That's why I'm so frightened by it. Mm-hmm. We are all busy enough as it is trying to manage what we have now, but I think we're not able to cope with the upcoming what we call epidemic of diabetes.
Okay, and there seem to be some barriers, with diabetes. We all know the obvious steps that must be taken to prevent complications from diabetes. Are there? We know what the complications are, but there seem to be some barriers. What are they?
They are quite unique barriers in Malaysia, Mira. What's interesting is that my colleagues, the physicians that deal with the diabetic patients, we're constantly emphasizing the importance of good sugar control and good blood pressure control and so on and so forth. But compliance is so poor. Patients with very bad diabetes who need insulin injections refuse to have them. And this goes across the board in all races and cultures. So there seems to be a strong cultural and social issue with injecting yourself with insulin. And many patients tell me, oh, I'm worried. I've had a friend who had to inject the insulin and he went on dialysis later on from kidney failure. But obviously, it's not the injection that caused the kidney failure. It was the patient's diabetes. And so there's a big problem there. And they're often content taking their tablets, which is usually not enough. So poor diabetic control is an issue. And the next one is our diet, Mira. I mean, we eat far too much sugar. We eat 4 or 5 times a day. We eat late at night watching our Premier League football, and we drink sugary teh tarik and eat oily food.
So I think on average we consume about 20 teaspoons of sugar per person.
It is frightening. Yeah. Yes, and as you know, my wife's a dietitian, and she's absolutely amazed at the amount of sugar we can take in our diet.
Yeah, and we don't realize it, right?
Yes. Sugar is actually cheap. Sugar is a very good food substance that can sort of preserve food. So for restaurants, it's good to have lots of sugar because your food is less likely to go off. And it also, we are used to strong taste. We want salty, sweet, sour. So we want strong flavors in this country.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we have to adapt. We have to be able to change our diet from that sense.
Sure. How do you train yourself to take as little sugar as possible?
First of all, at a personal level, the only thing we drink in our house, I know it sounds terrible, I've got two young children, and all we give them is milk and water. As a treat, they can have a glass of Milo.
Right.
That's a treat. And in fact, my daughter was so excited last week. She said, Daddy. And guess what? I said, what? We've got a bottle of orange juice in the fridge. And she was so careful. She had half a glass every day.
Treasuring
just to ration
every
sip.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
So I think changing your diet and also your children, training them to just accept that drinking water is good. And as a treat, you may have a sweet or sugary drink, but that's a treat and not a regular thing.
Right. Coming up, we'll find out more about our eyesight and diet, as well as compliance, as well as your eyewear. If you have a question for Dr. Fong, do text us the number 0162019000, or you can tweet us at BFM Radio.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture, and I'm Mira Sevasodi. Dr. Kenneth Fong Chung Sian in the studio with us, consultant ophthalmologist. We're talking about World Sight Day, which is happening on the 13th of October. And in line with that, I know it's really early, but Dr. Fong is sort of creating some sort of awareness amongst us when it comes to our eyesight. Now, the Journal of the American Medical Association in 1994 showed that those who ate the most spinach and greens reduced the risk of macular degeneration by 43%. Since then, the body of research confirms this link has been growing steadily, Dr. Fong. What is this relationship between spinach, greens, and our diet and our eyesight?
That's a great question. I mean, diet and your health is a very important issue facing us. What we eat, what we take in our environment really affects us. And particularly for this disease called age-related macular degeneration, diet seems to play an important role in prevention of macular degeneration, and also prevention of AMD patients getting worse. And what is in spinach and collard greens? Well, it's the carotenoids or the pigment in them that seems to be protective of macular degeneration. The other thing I need to point out is that it's very difficult from these large epidemiological studies to pinpoint exactly what causes the improvement. It's more likely that if you eat a healthy diet, you also lead a healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You don't smoke, you exercise. So that probably leads on to the protectiveness from getting eye diseases. But in a large study done in America called AREDS, Age-Related Eye Disease Study, done on about 30,000 people, they gave these patients supplements of high doses of antioxidants and also lutein and zeaxanthin. And they found that there was statistically significant protective effect from macular degeneration. Patients.
Okay. Yeah, I came across that one too, and I was really quite amazed. So
you
are for supplements then?
I'm for supplements for those that need it.
Mm-hmm.
If you lead a healthy lifestyle, you're already eating a balanced diet. I think you should save your 100 ringgit and not buy supplements. I only recommend supplements for specific groups of patients. So patients who have already got macular degeneration, early signs of it, patients with lost vision in one eye and are particularly concerned about the other eye, and you know, patients with a family history of the condition. So I think for the general public, I don't think there should be a rush to go out to buy supplements. I think it's more important you carry on with your healthy lifestyle.
Okay, so, but to prevent macular degeneration, and if you are not getting a healthy diet, then you do recommend supplements, which is antioxidants.
Antioxidants, well, there's several things you need to break up the supplements. There are many types out there. Look carefully at the bottle and the contents. specifically look at the concentrations of the thing. I don't have the exact dosage of the Aerets formulation on me, but one caution is that for smokers, they should avoid taking beta-carotene. Beta-carotene is available in some supplements, but there's been reports stating there's an increased risk of lung cancer in smokers if you take excessive beta-carotene.
Okay. That's so excess beta-carotene.
Excess beta-carotene, yes.
Okay. You know, we always heard of how we have to eat carrots for better eyesight. Like, carrots help us to see in the dark. Our grandmothers told this to us as far as, I think, centuries ago. What's your take on carrots? Do you overdose on carrots or not?
Yeah, well, carrots are an excellent source of carotenoid pigments. And I think they were right. Our grandparents or forefathers were correct in saying we should eat more spinach and carrots and these green leafy vegetables, because modern science has shown that there is some benefit in protecting our eyes from particular eye diseases like macular degeneration.
Okay. And we have a question from Raymond, who says, is there a cure or therapy to slow down myopia among children?
Yes, I think I talked about this about a month ago, but to slow down myopia in children, if you have a child with myopia, it is usually quite frightening and worrying. And what I would advise people is to encourage your children to play outdoors. What's been shown to be protective from myopia is regular outdoor activities in young children. That not only prevents myopia but slows progression of myopia. There are new devices available. There have been drug trials done to put drops in your eyes, or especially special types of glasses. But again, I'm not 100% convinced that they can help. But again, there's no harm trying them. But I think the most important is actually regular outdoor activities.
Mm-hmm. That's to help myopia. What about diet?
There's nothing particular in your diet that can prevent myopia, unfortunately.
Okay, all right then. And of course, almost everyone owns a pair of eyewear, whether it's for leisure, for reading, you know, to correct eye vision impairment, and to make, of course, a fashion statement, right? Do we understand the concept and the role of eyeglasses in Malaysia?
I think so. I wear eyeglasses. I've been wearing eyeglasses since I was 10, and a lot of people I know wear glasses for whatever reason. Yes, I think glasses are important for several reasons. Firstly, correction of your eye. You want to see the best that you can see, and whether you wear spectacles, contact lenses, you want to maximize your visual potential. But more importantly, in our day and age, I think there's a role for protection. Eye protection, particularly when you're playing sports or you're involved in work that has risk of eye injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So that's important, I think.
What about from the sun? I think that's one of the main problems here in Malaysia.
Yes, sunglasses are very important. Excess UV light is also harmful for eyes. Our eyes are actually built with natural UV filters. The front of the eye, the cornea, filters out 90% of the UV light, and the lens, the lens in your eye, which becomes a cataract later on in life, that also filters out a lot of UV light.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yes, I mean, there's no harm in wearing sunglasses, particularly for children, I think, who are out on the beach or playing outdoors. If it's very bright, they should really wear a hat and sunglasses.
That's funny, because the children are the last people we buy sunglasses
yes.
for.
In yeah. fact, in Australia, it's actually mandatory in some states for children to wear sunglasses and a white brim hat when they go outdoors to play during school hours.
Wow.
So I think that is a big important. But it's important to buy good quality sunglasses.
That was what I was going to come to, right?
not just anything that's colored black.
Yes. Yeah. I had a friend the other day who looked really cool, and I said, you look like Posh Spice. Very nice shades. And she goes, oh, I just bought it. It's 15 ringgit. I bought it off the rack. Should we do that?
If you don't need to wear glasses for work, you just want to wear a fashion statement, probably that has no harm there. But again, I'll be a bit cautious that you pay for what you get. I mean, looking at the lens itself, I'm quite doubtful that can be any form of UV protection in that pair of glasses for 15 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost not feasible to make a pair
right.
like that. So I think just be aware of what you're paying for. If it's too cheap, it probably is not very of a good quality.
Right. But will it sort of affect your eyesight in any way?
I don't think it'll damage your eyes. I mean, I've also seen these pinhole glasses. Have you heard of them?
No.
They're like black glasses with lots of little pinholes poked through them, and they're being sold for about 50 to 60 ringgit as a correction for myopia. So that's a bit worrying, because I think people who wear them say, oh, I can see very well. But yes, but you've lost your entire field of vision. So you'd be walking into things, can't see things on the side. And it also misses out the fact that you are losing an opportunity to get a proper eye examination, either at your optometrist or optician, who are trained to examine your eyes properly.
Okay. A question from a listener, not very much information, but I don't know whether you'll be able to solve his problem. He or she has a sharp half-second eye pain. Why is that?
Difficult question.
Yeah.
I think
I need more information.
I think that can be many, many things. Dust going in your eye, dry eyes, you know, so on and so forth.
Okay. Any other messages this World Sight Day, Dr. Fong?
Well, I mean, this Saturday, I mean, we are going to be having a World Sight Day public forum at the Sunway Pyramid from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be exhibitions about various eye diseases, and I'll be there giving a public talk as well, sharing my thoughts on some eye diseases, and I've got other colleagues there as well who will be talking about that. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for the general public to come and just, you know, learn a bit more about these eye diseases, and if there's any questions, they can ask them to us. We'll be there in person.
Okay, your final message this World Sight Day.
Well, I think eyesight is probably the most precious sense that we have of the all five senses, so we have to take care of it. Be aware that, you know, there are diseases that can be prevented, and early detection will allow us to maintain our eyesight.
Mm-hmm. And a healthy lifestyle, I suppose, is what you would advocate.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm off to the gym after this.
Thanks for rubbing it in. Dr. Kenneth Fong Chung Sian, consultant ophthalmologist, talking to us about World Sight Day, which is on the 13th of October. If you'd like to join that forum or be a part of that public forum, it's happening this Saturday, the 8th of October, from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at Sunway Pyramid. And meet the doctor in person. Also, all that's happening this Saturday. That was The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.